Hi, this is Ed Fitzpatrick. If you enjoy local politics as much as I do, be sure to join our friends at Rhode Island PBS for the show A Lively Experiment. Hosted by Jim Hummel, the weekly series features journalists, pundits, and politicians debating the stories and issues that matter most to us Rhode Islanders. Tune in to A Lively Experiment and be part of the conversation. Fridays at 7 p.m. on Rhode Island PBS and wherever you get your podcasts. From the Boston Globe, this is Rhode Island Report. I'm Ed Fitzpatrick. Welcome back to the podcast where we bring you big conversations from our very small state. St. Mary's Home for Children in North Providence has been in the news since January when the state child advocate released a scathing report about conditions there. Our own Amanda Milkovitz has been following the story ever since. Her latest story features a family whose grandchild has been there for a year. They say things have not changed. Amanda, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Eddie.
So you've been leading the way in coverage on St. Mary's Home for Children. So bring us up to speed. What is St. Mary's? Where is it? And when did problems there first come to light?
Okay, so St. Mary's Home for Children is a facility in North Providence. It's the only psychiatric residential facility for children in Rhode Island, which is pretty significant because there is an enormous need. Right now, dozens of children are being sent away to states as far away as Tennessee.
And that's expensive.
It's very expensive. And, you know, St. Mary's is also expensive. It's about $1,000 a day that DCYF has been paying per child since about 2019 when they first contracted with St. Mary's to provide these services. There's also a day school. It also offers services for people who either victims or families of survivors of sex trafficking. You know, there's a variety, but we're particularly focused in on what's been happening at the psychiatric residential treatment facility.
And when did the problems there first come to light?
You know, I've been hearing from people who said there have always been problems in St. Mary's Home for Children, but the Department of Children, Youth, and Families and the Office of Child Advocate both began investigating back in May. It was a few weeks after a teenager overdosed in one of the bathrooms and a staff member was fired for assaulting her. And they both launched investigations, and boy, it was pretty eye-opening. DCYF no longer places children at the facility, hasn't since late November when a child running away was hit by a Jeep and badly injured. The Office of Child Advocate released a report in January to the public that documented pretty extensively reports of complaints by the families, some of the staff members as well, of abuse, neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, understaffing, undertrained staff, just general chaos.
Yeah, one of the most outrageous things in the Child Advocates report was that a biker gang was providing security at St. Mary's. Is that right?
So they're not a biker gang. It's a biker organization. It's a nonprofit called Bikers Against Child Abuse. And it was invited in by the former CEO, longtime executive director, last summer because they wanted to combat potential traffickers, sex traffickers, showing up outside the home. So they invited in this group. And basically what they do, there are various bikers who show up whenever a child has been abused, if they've been invited, to kind of stand there and provide a presence. And the child advocate wants this issue investigated by the Attorney General's office and by DCYF because they said they really violated confidentiality laws. There's no background checks that were done by St. Mary's. DCYF was unaware that these bikers were standing outside the home. The police chief found out about it and urged St. Mary's not to do this. You don't invite a bunch of strangers to stand outside a facility where there are vulnerable children. And in fact, they weren't just standing there. They were also invited to help search for kids when they ran away from the home.
So just to be sure, there was no biker gang involved?
Well, the neighbor said they were concerned about biker gangs. And in fact, the now former executive director at St. Mary's reported seeing a member of the Red Devils outlaw motorcycle gang. They're affiliated with Hell's Angels, out keeping watch at St. Mary's.
What were they doing there?
They were there as part of Bikers Against Child Abuse, keeping watch, watching out for traffickers.
What could possibly go wrong? Is this state still sending children to St. Mary's?
No. Nope. The latest I've heard from DCYF is they are continuing to work with St. Mary's to get them to the point where they will be able to resume sending children there. But right now, there's only 11.
There's 11 there now.
Right.
For one of your stories, you filed a public records request with the North Providence Police Department. So how many times have the police been called to St. Mary's?
Oh, gosh. So I just looked at the last 2 years, and it was pretty extraordinary. I only looked at police logs because if I tried to pull the reports, we'd still be here today trying to find them. There was over 300 times that they were called in 2 years, primarily for children running away. And those 300 times, honestly, I stopped counting when the kids were only gone for about an hour or two, because it was that dramatic. Kids ended up everywhere. They were running away at all hours, sometimes together, as young as 8 years old.
Where would they go?
You name it. Sometimes they just make it, you know, into downtown and North Providence. Some of them ended up in Johnston, Woonsocket, on Route 295.
On 295?
On Route 295.
You interviewed some neighbors of the facility. What did they tell you?
Oh, boy. So they have a lot of stories. They have stories of, one child who escaped on a 4th of July and jumped into the pool in the middle of a pool party and just didn't want to leave because there was nothing to do at the home. There were kids who were just running away and taking off down the road and disappearing. There were kids who were hiding out in their sheds or garages. There's one neighbor who told me that he still thinks about this boy who kept showing up at his house and cuts and bruises on him and sometimes just wanted to talk but would tell him, like, please don't let me go back there. Don't let them find me. It hasn't stopped either. There's only 11 kids there, and they are still running away.
Wow.
One of the neighbors has shared pictures from local surveillance cameras that shows the kids cutting away.
Oh, wow. That's heartbreaking. We'll hear more from Amanda after a quick break. When you want to go beyond the headlines, let me recommend Rhode Island PBS Weekly. Rhode Island PBS Weekly is an award-winning news magazine broadcast that gives you the full story, powered by investigative journalism and narrative storytelling. New episodes of Rhode Island PBS Weekly drop Sundays at 7:30 p.m. on Rhode Island PBS. Watch past episodes at ripbs.org/weekly. That's ripbs.org/weekly. So you've been working on a new story about a family that sent their grandchild to St. Mary's, and you've spoken to the grandchild. What have they told you?
Let's take a listen.
Oh, hi, you're Amanda, right? My name's Trevor. I want to tell you what happened at St. Mary's.
I've been talking to this family for a little over a month. The grandparents, who became the legal guardians of this child, who's about 16 years old, named Trevor. They contacted me because of all the reporting I've been doing on St. Mary's. And they're one of the families who spoke with the child advocates and is included in the child advocates report. In fact, some of the complaints that Trevor has made also show up in some of the police logs. Trevor is the child who ended up on Route 295 last summer and was gone for several hours.
I ran away, and it was the highway cops that found me because people who saw me were calling. I didn't see one cop on the street looking for me.
So a lot of what they said has been backed up in the child advocates report. They asked DCYF for help with their child because they were at a loss. Trevor has various developmental disabilities, has seizures, and was really suffering a great deal from depression and loss in his life. So DCYF recommended St. Mary's. The grandparents didn't want St. Mary's because they'd heard these stories. This is way before the investigations happened. They already heard about the issues.
And did you say that Trevor told you about broken glass in the playground and even rats in the house?
Yeah. And this is after the investigation. This is after the child advocates report. I mean, there's still issues. So I haven't spoken directly with Trevor. Trevor has texted me and sent me voice memos in response to my questions. I have sat down with his grandparents and spoken to them pretty extensively. So yeah, this is recently. There's a broken glass, sent me pictures of broken glass on the playground. And the kids go into the basement and kind of hang out at the home that they're at in the facility. And Trevor said they were told that there's rats and they had to stay out of there for a little while until they could take care of it. Last summer, during the brutal heat, there was issues with the air conditioning that broke. The windows are locked. They can't open the windows. They're not supposed to have the doors open. So the kids were sweltering for a while.
I was on a COVID unit, right? because I had COVID and they forgot to give me food and it was hot. They stopped a med without telling anyone. They stopped my Prozac, my antidepressant. It wasn't even the doctor that stopped it.
The grandfather told me about issues with backups, water or possibly sewer backups. So the home reeked. Overall, problems at the facility. A lot of complaints about how unclean it is, how dirty it is, you know, feet sticking to the floor.
Why was Trevor sent to St. Mary's in the first place?
You know, the grandparents told me that they were just at a loss. Trevor's been in and out of psychiatric hospitals, you know, been at Bradley, been at Hasbro, but you can't stay there. It's not a place that a child can stay. And so DCOF recommended that St. Mary's could help him. They didn't find that that was helpful after all. Now, to be fair, and the bright side is, Trevor has bonded with his clinician. He's really caught up at school. They're really happy with the school. But it's the rest of St. Mary's concerns. You know, Trevor told me he was being abused, had been bullied by other kids. Staff is just overwhelmed. You know, the first day that Trevor was there,
A staff left the office door unlocked.
Two other children went into the unlocked office, grabbed a set of keys for the home's van.
Took V's to the van and drove away.
Just drove off and, you know, hit something, were stopped by the cops. But the office was unlocked, so Trevor went in there and got a pair of scissors and cut himself.
Oh, wow. Have his grandparents tried taking him out of there?
Oh, boy. Yeah, actually, they did. So it was about a month in that they decided they'd had enough. Now, this was after Trevor ran away. Trevor had cut himself, been found with very sharp objects in his own bed, and they weren't getting good feedback, they thought, from the residential director. They felt like they were being ignored. So that was it. They showed up, they took Trevor, and they drove off. That lasted for a few days until the family court judge ordered them to take him back.
The judge ordered him back.
Judge says you've got to take him back, and you know, because he's now under the care of DCYF.
And there's no other option, right? It's not like St. Mary's or B.
Oh, well, St. Mary's or Tennessee. St. Mary's or, you know, so far away that, you know, they live in Tiverton. So they're driving about 33 miles a day to go visit Trevor. It could be several states away where they wouldn't be able to at least keep an eye on him.
Has Trevor said it has gotten any better since the report came out?
Not really.
The one thing that I really think has improved is the staff are getting nicer, but what I want to see is peace, better food, more off-grounds here because I don't really go out anymore. I want staff to handle a crisis better, tone of voice from staff.
You know, there's more investigation going on right now, so there's much more. So DCOF has not let go of St. Mary's. The Child Advocates Office has not let go of St. Mary's. Disability Rights has shown up, and they are investigating as well. So there's a lot of scrutiny there. There is a new interim CEO. There's, I think, two new board members. But, you know, much of the staff is still exactly the same.
So you mentioned that $1,000 a day in public funds is going to this facility for each child. Where's that money going to if it's in such bad condition?
So that's really a great question and something I've been trying to answer as well. It's kind of a mystery, you know, and that's actually something that the legislators have brought up as well. The bishop has said, who's of course on the board, has said that, you know, the audits have been clean for the last 5 years, but there's been no forensic audit. And that's something that Patricia Serpa has brought up, that she's very interested in that.
Yeah, Representative Patricia Serpa, isn't she chairwoman of the House Oversight Committee?
That's correct.
So she wants to do a forensic audit?
She asked about that.
She asked about that. Is that a piece of legislation or is that
no, a
proposal? Okay. Does St. Mary's have an explanation for how things reach this state?
No, so the interim CEO, Charles Montorio Archer, of course he's new, but he's characterized it as this is something that's in the past. They need restructuring, but he's called them stumbles.
Yeah, and he says don't dwell on the past.
Don't dwell
but
on the past.
But this isn't
the past
ancient
is
history,
present.
Is it?
No, the past is present. And that's really what I found in speaking with this family is that this is still an issue. They're still deeply concerned and they're very frustrated. They don't feel like anyone's listening.
Trevor's
which is why they turned
right
to
now,
us.
Right?
Trevor is texting and sending voice memos saying, here's what's going on here.
I saw where Montorio Archer said the Child Advocates' criticism reflected a desire for retribution. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that was a little unexpected because before that response came out, he had said that they had agreed with And, you know, we're taking very seriously what the child advocate had to say. He released a response that was essentially pushed back in some of the findings and included some letters from some of the children, the letters weren't signed, saying how much what they liked about St. Mary's.
Didn't Trevor say something about writing those letters?
So what Trevor said was that Montoya Archer came into their class and told the children that if they wrote letters saying what they liked about St. Mary's, they would all get a big surprise. He said that's the reason they did it.
And what was the surprise?
Oh, they didn't get one. The surprise was there was no surprise.
Oh, I guess that is surprising. So what did Montoya Archer say about the situation on Channel 10, WJAR?
So in that case, he was addressing an article I'd written about several hundred runaways over 2 years.
Let's take a listen.
I think, you know, the public, the community has a right to be concerned. But kids at some times will be kids. And for us, we just have to make sure that we have staffing, that we have oversight to ensure that those things don't happen.
And Trevor responded to that, right?
Yeah, Trevor wasn't happy to hear about that.
If Dr. Charles is listening to this, I saw his interview. He was like, the reason why we run away is because we're just trying to be teenagers and get out. Excuse me, I was on the highway trying to run away from this place because it was a total agony.
The kids are watching.
Yeah. Are there any police investigations underway about all this?
There is indeed a police investigation, and actually a pretty recent one invited by DCYF. DCYF was actually called by St. Mary's to investigate two staff members who allegedly assaulted children. It's still under investigation. There's been no criminal charges. The staff members have been suspended and going to be fired, according to the police report that I obtained. What I thought was particularly interesting was that the DCYF investigator noted that what St. Mary's documented about the incident did not match what is shown on the surveillance video, which apparently is far worse.
Oh, wow. So despite all these problems, I know the state has had plans to spend $11 million in federal pandemic money to expand St. Mary's, right? To add 12 beds. Is that still going forward?
Well, okay. So that gets to what I said earlier, talking about the desperate need. I mean, everybody knows, everybody who's in this field really understands that they need to have some beds for these kids. It's something that Family Court has been pressing for, DCYF has been pressing for. So St. Mary's expanding using $11 million in pandemic funds was meant to kind of be a stopgap until the state can build its own facility, which it is going to do. This was originally intended to have the work started in March, finished next March this time, so they can at least start sending kids there. It's been delayed, I'm told, because of various soil issues. DCYF says it's still planning to go forward. However, Senator Louis De Palma does not want to spend the money, and he's not the only legislator up there who does not want to spend the money until St. Mary's can prove that it's ready to take in more kids.
But what does DCYF say? Because I saw a quote from the director, Ashley Deckard, saying St. Mary's is too big to fail.
Yeah, that's correct. They really are trying to help St. Mary's get to where it needs to be because the state is in the point where they have to have a place to send these kids.
So who's going to make the final decision and when?
Well, it's still DCYF is going to decide when it's going to go. And there's no timetable at this point.
So what's next for St. Mary's? What will you be keeping an eye on?
So I'm going to be keeping an eye on everything. Not only the police investigations, but the child advocate has been continuing to investigate. So I'm looking to whether they're going to release yet another report.
Amanda, thank you for reporting on this important story, and thanks for bringing us up to date today.
Thank you for having me on.
You can read more of Amanda's reporting on St. Mary's at globe.com/Rhode Island. That's globe.com/Rhode Island. Rhode Island Report is a production of the Boston Globe in collaboration with Rhode Island PBS. Today's episode was produced by Megan Hall. Audio mixing and mastering by Marissa Ewing of Hemlock Creek Productions. Our music is from APM. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I'm Ed Fitzpatrick. See you next week. Looking to binge watch all your favorite PBS shows? You need Rhode Island PBS Passport. Masterpiece, Antiques Roadshow, Rhode Island PBS Weekly, and many more. Watch them all, anytime, and from any streaming device. Learn more about this member benefit at ripbs.org/passport. That's ripbs.org/passport.